Welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. Shaping Portsmouth is a collaboration of key Portsmouth businesses, transforming Portsmouth together.
Welcome to another Shaping Portsmouth podcast with me, CEO Dave Humphreys, and today I'm joined by Yvonne Clay from Gunwolf Keys. Welcome, Yvonne.
Thank you very much.
So, Yvonne, clearly everyone in the city knows you already, but just in case there's someone listening that doesn't, can you just tell us what your role at Gunwolf Keys is, please?
Yeah, of course. So, as you say, my name's Yvonne. I'm the Centre Director here at Gunwolf Keys, which means I look after the two car parks, the shopping areas, the entertainment areas and the bar, and also the marina. So I have the best job in the world.
I'd love the fact you started with the car parks.
They're very important to me.
Car park attendant, the primary role. But so obviously everyone will know Gunwolf, fantastic shopping centre, but it's not owned by Gunwolf Keys, it's Landsec,
which is
the group you're part of. And you've got lots of other high profile shopping centres, which I think includes Bluewater, which people will know.
Yeah. So Landsec is the UK's biggest property company. Right. So as well as a lot of high profile retail centres, like you mentioned Bluewater, but there's also Liverpool One, St David's in Cardiff, up to Buchanan Galleries in Glasgow, and also lots of prime office space. So Media City, for example, up in Manchester, and big swathes of London along South Bank and Victoria Street in particular.
But
great
course,
company to work
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I'm sure, but none as amazing as Gunwolf Keys.
Nothing comes close.
Does it?
Nowhere else has the little shine that we have with the waterfront being based in Portsmouth. Yeah, it's shopping and then some, as we like to say.
Yeah. So before we talk about Gunwolf Keys and things going on there, let's find out a bit about yourself. So not originally from Portsmouth?
No, I grew up in Lincolnshire in a tiny village, which was about 8 miles from a little town called Louth. It really was in the middle of nowhere. So at 18, off I ran to the big city and moved to Birmingham. Studied there, studied of all things an engineering degree. My dad was a garage mechanic and mum had a shop, and I needed to do a degree that would give me a job at the end of it. And with engineering, not only could I get a full council grant, but I could also get sponsored. So yes, I've always had a commercial head on my shoulders. Did that, ended up with a master's degree in mechanical engineering, and decided engineering was definitely not for me. So right. Had a whopping great career change first off.
And that's quite interesting because I certainly, my own daughter, I'll talk to about her like chosen career path and the degree she's done. But I think it's always interesting to find people that have had a complete shift in what they've done. And I think it probably makes the point that if you're doing a degree, but you're not sure what you want to be, that's probably fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm old, Dave, so it was some time ago. The world has definitely changed. But I think it's fair to say that it's about what you make it. Don't do a job that you don't like. Mm. You know, don't go into something because you've studied it. Don't go into something because you feel you have to. And my heart was not in engineering. Mm. And I had done a couple of jobs in various factories and so on, and it just wasn't for me. So actually, I went into retail. Then I became a buyer. Then I got into e-commerce and digital marketing, and then I became a much sort of broader sort of marketing manager and marketing director before getting involved operationally.
So how did that lead you to the South Coast and Gunwolf? Did you end up at Gunwolf having already arrived on the South Coast or?
Yeah, I moved down to the South Coast about 25 years ago. And about 10 years ago, somebody contacted me on LinkedIn, as they always do, and said, there's this job at Gunwolf Keys. And I said, I'm fine, thank you very much. I'm really happy in my job. But they kept pestering. And dare I say, it was Gunwolf Keys.
Right.
Such a fantastic place. So I did the classic, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just go along for an interview and see what I think. And hey, presto. A month or so later, there I am. So all good fun.
Brilliant. So In terms of Gunwolf Keys itself, we've got a big shopping centre, lots of quite high profile brands.
Yeah.
But the key to it all is it's all outlet.
It is. That's our, well, we've got a couple of what we would call USPs, yep, unique selling points. One is we buy the water.
Yeah.
And people just love the fact they can quite literally watch the boats go by in front of our marina. But the most important one is, yeah, we're an outlet shopping centre. So all of the brands, nearly, are outlet brands, which means everything has to be at least 30% off full price, which is a really compelling reason for people to visit from further away.
Yep. And it just helps that it's a really beautiful location as well.
Well, and that's why it becomes a destination.
Yeah.
So people might come because they want to get discounted goods from Nike or Polo Ralph Lauren or Coach, but they're staying because they're grabbing a coffee. Yep. As they're wandering around, then they're having lunch, maybe in Giggling Squid or Wagamama's on the front. So it sort of becomes a really nice, relaxed day out.
Yeah.
Particularly this time of the year, and particularly because we're outdoors. People don't feel like they're penned in a sort of air-conditioned kind of area. And for whatever reason, people seem to love that. And it's growing and growing. It's doing really well.
Yeah. And I'm sure there will be no one listening to this that hasn't visited Gunwolf Keys already. But if you haven't, what are you thinking? Get down there. But now, so if I rewind about a year now to our very first podcast that we recorded, which was a team one, we all made recommendations of places to go, things mm-hmm. to do in the city at the end of the podcast, which is something that's stuck and we're still doing, and we'll come to yours when we get to the end. But that week I had been to the finish of the Clipper race at Gunwolf Keys. And had noticed that there are also lots of other things coming up, going on at Gunwolf Keys that you might not have thought about, but you do have quite a lot of interesting events there, don't you? Lots of other things happening.
Absolutely. And I think that's important because we know that people expect much more than just a shop. Mm. They do want a day out, and Gunwolf is special, and we have this space, we have this outdoor area, so hopefully people have seen over the summer lots of bits and pieces going on, really kicked off with the Street Food Awards, and then of course we've had the Summer Seafood Award a few weeks ago, Ocean Race Europe a yep. few weekends ago. How exciting was that, with the Volvo sort of sponsorship and the stage and the live music, and now of course the Clipper race is coming back, and it's the start of the Clipper race. And we are so excited that Clipper have chosen us again as their sort of home start port. It says so much about Portsmouth and so much about our lovely location.
Yeah. So tell us about the Clipper race. What is the Clipper race? What does it involve?
Well, the Clipper race basically involves ordinary people. So people like you and me, or any members, anybody that's listening, ultimately, gives us the chance to crew a high-speed yacht literally all the way around the world. And these, the boats that you're on, and I would recommend people come down if they haven't booked in already, you can actually go and see what it's like in these boats. So, for example, with the crew, you share bunks, not at the same time, obviously, yep. that wouldn't quite be right. But you've got sort of a 24-hour kind of rota of people. And these are people that have never sailed before. But Clipper train you, and they have really experienced captain on board who obviously is there to make sure everything goes well. But it's all sorts of different people from all sorts of walks of life that want to do something different, that want to maybe test themselves or want a different perspective on the world.
Yep.
And they get the chance to literally race around the world on these incredible boats and crew them in all sorts of, you know, really quite crazy conditions. If you've not seen it, pop on their website. I'll be honest, it's not something that I would ever want to do myself, but my other half would absolutely kill to go on one of these things. So, you know, lots of people do it. And the start is lovely because friends and family of those that are going off racing come down to Gunwharf, and there's just this wonderful, wonderful vibe. There'll be a stage there, there'll be some street food there. You can learn about the boats, you can find out more about it. And they are beautiful, and I think there'll be about 12 boats in our marina, so you can literally sail over and look at them. And they're from all around the world, so some are sponsored by, there's some from, I think, Taiwan and China, some are European, some are charity boats. There's an awful lot of work that's done around, as they're racing around the world, of course, they can get samples of water and so on and so forth that people can then test and review and look at, so they can understand what the environment of the sea is at any given time. So yeah, it is, as you can tell, I love it. It's an amazing event.
A lot more to it than just the sailing. Now I remember the finish, and I remember we watched them all come in procession, and then they went past Gunwharf up into the sort of naval part of the dockyard, and then one at a time they came back in finishing order. And that we had all of the smoke, coloured smoke going
on. Oh, yes.
The crowds were there, the friends and family again. And then we had the fantastic drummers and the parade down to the stage. But also a ton of Clipper-related exhibition stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember watching, just before they all arrived, them sailing in through the Solent live on the big screen there. And it... realising that it was being filmed by Solent Sky Services.
Oh, well, there you go, Mike, another.
Mike Woods, another one of our shaping partners out there on the boat filming it. So really, really spectacular event. And it sounds like, from what you're saying, we can expect more of the same for the start.
Absolutely. It'd be lovely. And we'll literally watch them sail out.
Yeah.
Which is gorgeous. And they're all waving. They're all really excited. And they start off gently in the Solent. And goodness me, they can hit some big waves very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's going to be a brilliant event. Really looking forward to it.
And I think we're really excited that they've chosen Portsmouth, you know, as their start destination. After having, say, Ocean Race Europe come as well. We had Sail GP earlier in the summer. I mean, we are putting Portsmouth on the map as a fantastic city, all about sailing, all about getting on the water, which is just brilliant.
Yeah, I suppose we can't lose sight of the amazing marine heritage and culture we have here in Portsmouth. So it's no surprise that things like that want to come. But whilst it's really, really great to have these events because of the spectacle that they are, for our city, they also bring in an enormous amount of money. I heard an estimate that of £14 million for Sail GP into the city's economy in that one weekend. So these events are not just good for you at Gunwharf Quays. They really have an impact on our city and
huge impact.
Our economy.
Especially with Clipper. Because, of course, as I say, it's friends and families waving people off. So they're in the Portsmouth or Portsmouth area for sort of 4 or 5 days. So the economic impact is huge. But they just get to fall in love with the city.
Yeah.
And word spreads, and sort of brand Portsmouth is really now being associated with, you know, high-end sailing, great place to visit, fantastic historical places to look and see. And it's, you know, it's right that Gunwharf is hosting these things.
Yeah.
I mean, the clue is in the name, Gunwharf. It's always had boats sailing out of it. Even D-Day, boats sailed out of Gunwharf as part of, D-Day. So it's the heritage is massive.
Back in the day, it was HMS Vernon. So
it was indeed, and it was even an arms base in the days of Henry VIII. And so it really does date back.
And it's great that you can't walk around Gunwharf without seeing the nods back to that. The, you know, some of the subtle ones and some of the less subtle ones, like big cranes.
We've got big cranes, torpedoes.
Yeah.
We've got the wonderful Vernon Monument statue in one of the ponds, because of course all naval divers used to be trained in the deep, what we call the deep pond, within the shopping centre, and you've got Vernon Gate. Mm. And we always say, we don't know for sure, but allegedly Nelson and his troops walked through Vernon Gate on the way to the Battle of Waterloo. So, yeah, crazy amounts of history. It's fantastic.
So, if you walk around Gunwharf Quays, as well as those little bits of history and those interesting elements, you can't help but notice other things going on at the moment. There appears to be some work. Quite clearly, the walkthrough has had quite a bit done to it, and the vibe there has changed quite significantly. And then the work going on at the entrance.
Yeah.
So this is all part of a much bigger project, isn't it?
It is, and you know, Landsec committed probably 2 or 3 years ago that they would invest heavily in Gunwharf Quays. Smart people that I work for, they invest when they can see that there's going to be a return on investment. And fundamentally, that speaks volumes about Portsmouth as a city, because they've chosen to invest 45 million-ish over the next sort of 5 years. We started with the avenues, which is our kind of undercover horseshoe area. People are loving that. Mm. And you'll have noticed a gorgeous, shiny new Oliver Bonus in the end of that. Brand partners are also loving that, so that's really helping. But as we move forward, as you say, Marlborough Avenue, which is our entrance where you come out through the tunnel if you've travelled by rail or you're walking through from that side of the city, got lots of hoarding up at the moment, but that's very exciting. We'll be unveiling all of that, fingers crossed, November, December time. There'll be a bigger and better M&S. There'll be a fantastic new concept by the Cornish Bakery called Rise.
Right.
Crew clothing will move, and White Stuff are coming back, which is lovely news. We love it when a brand partner comes back, because we found some extra space. So
always liked White Stuff for flowery shirts.
I mean, they do a fine range of flowery shirts,
they do.
Dave. You're not wearing one today,
I'm not
which
wearing
is a
one
little
today.
Disappointing.
Yeah. My wife's not going to be best pleased to hear they're coming back because of the flowery shirts. But
Well, she is very welcome to buy non-flowery shirts for you in other locations, so that's no problem. And then, of course, what we'll be moving on to next is the waterfront redevelopment. So I've seen lots of plans for that, very much early stages, but really exciting. Can't wait. Mm. Saw some new plans for that literally yesterday. It's going to be great.
Right. Exciting stuff. And I suppose in the grand scheme of things, Gunwharf Quays isn't that old.
25 years old next year. So Portsmouth will be celebrating its 100th birthday as a city. Airbus, would you believe, will be celebrating its 75th birthday next year. And Gunwharf Quays will be 25.
Yeah. Wow. So, and of course, the tower has its 20th anniversary in October, because obviously that was built slightly later than the rest of Gunwharf Quays.
Better late than never is my view on the Spinnaker Tower. It looks fantastic, so we'll let them
off. It does, but I didn't realise you were sharing the 25-year anniversary with the city centenary, so that's another.
It's all going on.
Yeah.
2026 is a big year.
The things you find out. But no, it's great that you know, something that in the grand scheme of things is relatively new is having that amount of investment, and that does, as you kind of say, show a bit of forward thinking on the part of Landsec in realising the value of it and the value of the city.
Massively, yeah. Landsec isn't going anywhere in terms of Gunwharf Quays and Portsmouth. And this is about improving the space, making it better for guests. You'll have seen in the avenues all our gorgeous furniture, lovely planting. It's about making people feel relaxed, feeling it's their place to go, and just sit, read a book. I have to say, there's a lot more gentlemen sitting in the avenues now reading books outside Oliver Bonus than there used to be a few months ago.
Yep.
So definitely we've got that right.
And of course, if you don't want to sit in the avenues and read, you can nip over the other side and do a spot of Formula One racing.
Well, you can do a bit of Formula One racing, or you can grab a point at Fossil Thief.
Yes, another.
The local,
staggeringly,
our local cafe.
Staggeringly good brewery, isn't it?
It is. So, yes, they're a Portsmouth microbrewery, and they've just opened as well. Yeah. So, yeah, we're doing well.
Loads going on. But obviously, that news that Landsec are not going anywhere particularly bodes well for us, because at Shaping Portsmouth, we have you, Gunwolf Keys, as a partner. But there is also a big social value community focus that comes with Landsec as well. So why, starting with Shaping Portsmouth, I guess, why is that important to you? Why are you so passionate about Shaping Portsmouth and keen to be involved with it?
I think we've all recognise Portsmouth is an absolutely brilliant city. And as I said, I'm from Lincolnshire, and people described Portsmouth to me before I came down as a northern city in the south. Maybe that's why I love it so much, because it kind of reminds me of northern cities. It's got great soul, it's got great people, but some of the areas, as we know, in Portsmouth are really deprived, they really struggle, people really struggle. So what we want to do is make sure we're supporting the city, and particularly the people of the city that really support us. We love being in Portsmouth, and the people of Portsmouth really do love us. People are passionate about Gunwolf Keys, and that's such a pleasure for me. I want everybody in Portsmouth to feel like Gunwolf Keys is part of theirs, and we have so many opportunities that we can offer people as well. So, you know, there's about 3,000 people, full-time equivalent, employed at Gunwolf Keys. That's a lot of employment opportunity. We want to help young people that might be struggling, and other parts of the community as well, to sort of get on that work ladder and really find some sort of happiness and some ongoing peace. And we want to inspire young people in the city to study hard, work hard, get a great job, and really move forward in their lives. So again, that's really important to us. So one of the things that we've loved being involved in this year was Pride. Shaping Portsmouth obviously sort of helped link us in there. Shaping Portsmouth has helped link us in with a number of different organisations. But, you know, one of the things I'm most proud of is that in the first 6 months of this year, Shaping Portsmouth, you know, delivered £500,000 worth of social value to this city, and it would be difficult for us to do that on our own. We are not set up to deliver that. We are a retail business, but by supporting you, we can help give lots and lots of money back. So we do that with Pompey in the Community and other sort of Portsmouth charities as well, but it's key to us. You know, we talk about shaping the places of the future. That's Landsec's goal. Ultimately, you shape the places of the future by making sure there is a place for all the people of that city to use, to be comfortable in, and that is critical as part of our sort of roadmap. Shopping isn't. You know, people can go online if they want to. We want to make an environment that makes them feel so good and makes them feel happy that they just want to come there. I love the fact that we have people that just walk through our centre every morning walking their dogs. And they stop, and our security team stroke the dogs, and we know the dogs' names, and it's absolutely lovely. They are just as important, if not more so, than people that perhaps travel for 2 hours down from London with very big wallets, spending lots of money in our gorgeous brands. Everybody is welcome. We are a hugely inclusive centre.
Yeah, and as a complete aside, it always strikes me whenever I go to Gunwolf how dog friendly it is.
We love dogs everywhere.
It's great how the world's moved on, because it used to be sort of guide dogs only, didn't it? But now there's everyone out there shopping with dogs. It's great.
It's one of those things, and people like it. Particularly our security team. Oh. Don't go near our security team with a dog, because they'll try and take it home. It's nice to see. And we've got a lovely new drinks dispenser, and it's got a special part on it for dogs.
Right.
So we're all sorted. We're set up for that.
Very good. So as well as sort of being a member, and you kind of are, you know, we're very proud of sort of managing to achieve £500,000 worth of social value over the first 6 months of the year, and you know, hopefully replicating that over the second 6 months. But it's not part of delivering that is about involving you in some of our programs and using your skills and your support and your staff and doing it together as, you know, a group of businesses rather than it just being about money and sponsorship. So obviously we've got Georgina from your team working on the Shaped by Solon program, which is probably the one that pulls on heartstrings more than any other. And the pinnacle of that program being the shop at the conference and what goes on there, which everyone loves. And so looking forward to this year's because it's got the centenary theme. So that's really good. And now Tony in your team also becoming our lead on Choose Employability and working on some of the, I suppose, marginalised cohorts of people, and they're trying to help create opportunities for people to get employment.
Yeah, one of the reasons I love my job as much as I do is because my team are absolutely brilliant. So I do have the easiest as well as the best job in the world, because honestly, I've never met such a fantastically passionate bunch of people. Mm. And of course, we're all at Gunwolf Keys. We all live reasonably locally, so we're massively passionate about Portsmouth. And what you find is people want to give back. So Georgina and Tony in particular were really keen to give back. They're passionate about that. It means a lot to them. So, and from our point of view at Landsec, how great that they get the opportunity to get involved in the community and add value. Again, I go back to, you know, shaping places for the future. Actually, they are having a really positive personal impact working with some of these groups, as you've said, that do face obstacles, challenges, blockers that perhaps others don't. And it's not just them. You know, I was so chuffed and very proud probably a month or so ago, when one of our security team who works for SCAS as a volunteer, South Coast Ambulance Centre, he's a first responder. He's also one of our security guards. And he came and did a fantastic career talk for care leavers.
Right.
Great to see him there. So it's about trying to pull people from across our business because lived experience, particularly for a lot of these people, is key. So I'm sorry, Dave, we're going to be banging on your door because we want to be involved in the community. We want to be making a difference. And if I've got team members that are passionate about Portsmouth, I'm going to absolutely make sure not only it's about us giving money, but it's about us giving time, and it's about feeling connected to sort of where we live and work.
Yeah, absolutely. And also on that note, it's not just our programs, but some of your own as well. And I had the privilege of coming down and joining you for the Made in Portsmouth presentations.
Oh, when we get the schools
in. How good were they?
Our sort of entrepreneurial piece to try and get young people to think in a different way, to think in a more business-like way. So to get 14-year-olds pitching business ideas is quite a coup. I think you were Simon Cowell, weren't you?
Maybe.
I'm not quite sure
the
who I was.
One on the end.
but absolutely brilliant to give schools the opportunity, particularly for those studying business studies at that sort of 14, 15-year-old age group, to really understand what a business plan is and how you pitch a business plan and how you present. So, again, it's another way we can add value, we hope.
And I mean, the premise of that was, if you had a shop on the Gunwolf Keys site, what would you do with it?
Yeah.
And I don't know what I was expecting. I suppose I was thinking there would just be some design ideas and we would sell this or we would do that. But the detail that went into those business plans in terms
we expect a full financial P&L. And they need to prove that there's a business need. And remember, they'd all done a day at Gunwolf Keys previously. Yeah. They'd been shown the unit. Mm. that they would be guests. So we took them through an empty unit. So it's a really interesting one. So yeah, we love. Sorry, I'm getting carried away again. You can see I'm very passionate about this.
What was, I think, what made that really special was that we sat there and we looked at some quite viable business ideas.
Oh gosh, yeah.
That could have run.
Yeah.
They had legs, you know, they would have worked, and it was really interesting. And then on top of that, you then had the creativity that they introduced, you know. I think there was one team that did it as a wrap, didn't they, their presentation?
Oh, yeah, I mean,
it was just incredible.
Yeah, I've never had a pitch wrapped to me before. That was first for me, but it was brilliant.
Yeah,
so I think, you know, on that as well, the work we did with Love Portsmouth, with Portsmouth City Council and Lulu from Love South Sea to support small businesses. Mm-hmm. Again, what an amazing thing for us to be able to offer. And from that, the staggeringly good brewery that we just talked about have now opened and got a thriving day and evening business going. And if you've not tried their coffee and pastries, where have you been?
I'm probably more interested in their brewing.
Excellent. I'd recommend a pint. You can sit out by the canal.
Absolutely. But I think that you know, the Love Portsmouth shop, what a success, and something that I suppose I did wonder what would it be like inside. And you know, it's we've gone from sort of a market concept with Love South Sea to now a shop in quite a high-end retail establishment, but it held its own. It kind of
an incredible job, and I think that was where expertise from somebody like Love South Sea was really helpful in just pulling that together. But also, you know, when we talk about sort of the partnership within Portsmouth, a lot of the furniture came from Victorious, from the team at Victorious Festival.
Yeah.
So again, it's people working together within Portsmouth and collaborating to deliver great outcomes.
Yeah.
And I think for us, you know, I always say our door is open. We are looking for other ways as well that we can collaborate locally. Yes, we need the big brands, of course we do. But I think we've proved over the last 18 months that there's a place for everybody at Gunwolf.
And I think talking about Love Portsmouth, one of my personal highlights of this year was a photograph, because I was lucky enough to get to be on the judging panel of the Portsmouth Business Awards this year, and we culminated that with Lulu getting the Outstanding Achievement Award at the end of the ceremony.
Yes.
There is an amazing photograph from the Portsmouth News of you and Jane Lemaire as Lulu's coming up when she wins the award. Which I think was just one of the best things of the year. Will feature in my highlights of the year without a shadow of a doubt. It's such a great picture.
I think what it shows and what's lovely is just how pleased, excited Jane and I, who come from very different sort of walks of life and very different roles within the city, we want people to do well.
Yeah.
Everybody in Portsmouth, the way people collaborate, you know, we help people up the ladder. Mm. We praise people. We award people for what they do, and that is wonderful to see. And as I say, I'm getting on a bit, so I've seen many different places. I have never worked in a city that works that way. In the way that Portsmouth does, there is a genuine feeling of collaboration to deliver the best outcomes there can be.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why it's such an amazing city,
absolutely.
Without a doubt. And that's a very good place to finish, but for the fact that we always have to end with a recommendation of somewhere to go or something to do in Portsmouth. So what would be your top tip?
Right, my top tip would be don't try and do it in a day. You need at least 2 days to see everything that I think is brilliant in Portsmouth. You also need some very good trainers, excellent shops available in the Gunwolf Keys, of course. Get your new trainers on, get some nice thick socks, small rucksack, get yourself some nice, maybe some beer to take with you from Staggeringly Good. Start at the Mary Rose Museum. It is amazing. It's fantastic. Learn all about the history there. Stop for lunch in Gunwolf Keys. Then move on to Old Portsmouth. have a nice wander around and get yourself on the promenade. I would recommend a little pop into the Hot Wall Studios along there. When they're open for an open day, you can see so much fantastic stuff. Head on down that promenade until you get to the fabulous D-Day Museum. Go into the D-Day Museum. Make sure you get inside the incredible landing craft. Watch the videos, hear the stories. It is absolutely kind of life-changing, and it really makes you understand what people went through, and I think keeps memories of World War II alive. Go in there. And then once you've had your breather there, walk up and walk behind Southsea Castle. My favourite place now in Portsmouth is the area just behind Southsea Castle, and it's all been landscaped as part of the sea defence area. There is a poem on the wall there by Simon Armitage, who is the poet laureate, for those that don't know. But there's all this amazing seating, and you can just sit there, look out to sea, watch the Isle of Wight. It is glorious, and it is my favourite spot in Portsmouth.
Wow. So I think that bit's called the Theatre of the Sea, isn't it, there, where the tiers are? But that
I mean,
Simon
it
Armitage
might be.
Poem
I'll just call it behind Southsea Castle, then I know where it is.
But you're obviously looking out at the same view that 480 years ago Henry VIII had as he watched the Mary Rose sink, because that's the
And I am
spot.
Pleased to report I've seen a canoeist in a little bit of trouble, but so far nothing has sunk
nothing
while
has
I've
sunk
been watching
been
things
there.
Go by. So it's been okay.
Hopefully the canoeist is all right.
He did make it safely to shore. It was a brave thing trying to take on the currents of Portsmouth.
Yeah, but the I don't think the landing craft has had a mention in any of our recommendations yet. And that is a really interesting one, because it's, without going on there and starting to see some of the things like the sick bowls and buckets, and you really start to understand what they went through, and the, you know, the kitchen prep area, and realizing how small it was, and what it must have been like on that boat heading over to France,
and how long they were on the boat for.
Yeah,
I was thinking little 3-hour ferry trip, pop off the other end, but some of them were on those boats for like 72 hours, three or four days.
Yeah. Sat offshore waiting to land. That particular boat, the captain of the boat was in his early 20s. I think he was 24 years old, and he was the captain of the boat on D-Day. It's an incredible story, and it is the only remaining landing craft. And in fact, we only have it because it was used for years as a nightclub, a floating nightclub in Liverpool, then sunk to the bottom of the harbour, and the National Lottery Fund had funded its recovery and renovation.
I mean, I've got to be honest, I'm not sure it would have made a great nightclub, but that's my personal view. Who knows? Maybe people like being locked in a metal chamber with a small kitchen area out the back. Wouldn't have been my idea of
fun. No, stories from people that have seen it say it's meant to have been very, very good in its day. But there you go. So, no, that's not just a recommendation, but a whole day out there. But definitely...
Oh, I could keep going, but I'm going to stop there for the sake of this podcast.
Get down to the back of Southsea Castle, behind Southsea Castle, Theatre of the Sea, Simon Armitage poem, amazing view.
Just sit.
And, yeah.
Just
wonderful, wonderful spot.
Yeah.
And actually... have a little walk around the castle whilst you're down there, because that's a great little visit as well.
It is.
Mm. Brilliant. It's been great talking to you. Really looking forward to the start of the Clipper race and seeing the other end of it this time. and particularly looking forward to seeing all of the development at Gunwharf Quays taking shape and continuing to work with you as such fabulous partners with everything we're doing. So thank you.
No, thank you. Lovely to meet with you today.
This podcast was brought to you by Shaping Portsmouth, working to make Portsmouth the number one UK city in which to invest, live, learn, work and visit. To find out more, please visit shapingportsmouth.co.uk. This podcast was supported by Spark Community Space and Portsmouth Community Lottery.